Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to 7 to the Hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm very glad that you're here and that you're here when our good friend Ted Fishman is here. Ted is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, veteran journalist, former commodity trader, author of China Inc., author of Shock of Gray, and so many other things that he's written. If you check him out online, Ted Fishman, or tcfishman.com, I think is one of his websites, you'll get smarter when you do. Hey, Ted, you've been studying football helmets, haven't you?
I have. I've been writing about it for Chicago Magazine, which is the city magazine in Chicago. There is a company here that most people who love football know called Rydell.
Right.
They've been making helmets for 80 years, or 90 years, I guess, now. And the helmet, as you know, has done some work protecting football players, but not nearly enough. There seems to be no way to protect football players enough.
Right.
So they've been thinking very hard about what the helmet can do in the future. And, you know, this is a classic entrepreneurial story. This is a company that grew out of the efforts of a math teacher at a local high school when he was tired of the way his players had to re-engineer their shoes in the early days of high school football in the state. You know, people just used to sew leather nubs on the bottom of the soles of their shoes. And every time there was a new game, the nubs had worn out, and they would have to take them to a cobbler. And they, in Evanston, Illinois, they had to compete with Northwestern University, so his high school players were never getting their shoes done.
Right.
They were slipping and sliding all over the place. So he invented the metal cleat and the athletic shoe as we know it. And around 10 years later, people were dying in two big numbers from cracked skulls.
Right.
They came up with a plastic helmet.
They were wearing leather helmets, but aviator helmet or something.
And it almost did more damage
than
good.
And no face mask.
Right, and no face mask. And these are the pictures that we all know, like if pictures of Jim Thorpe or Red Grange or those old timers. You know, they're wearing those leather bonnets, and it gave them confidence that they could hit people, but no protection.
Right.
So things actually got worse.
And now players are bigger and stronger and faster and more aggressive than ever before. And even the new helmets, the new technology is having a hard time keeping up, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, players now can inflict up to 150 Gs of force on each other, which is just about as big an impact as you get from anything in life. It's right.
Well, remember, your brain,
cars.
You know, I've got a thick skull. I've got a hard head. But my brain is no more attached to the inside than anybody else's brain is.
That's right, and it flops around. And so when the plastic helmet came around, it took a while to take hold because the war effort took a lot of plastic. But then after the war, it became the helmet of choice, and it stopped for, you know, it did some work stopping the skull crushing, but not enough. And this company is the one that re-engineered it with the padding again.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the 60s, and from the late 60s on, it got very good at protecting the bone of the skull, but that made the impact on the brain, as you just described it, worse.
Yeah.
Because the physics of a hit
directed all the
energy to the brain.
And the false impression that you're safer.
Right. But helmets do a good job at what they're designed to do. They're probably the best piece of safety equipment out there. They absorb more than half of the impact of a hit, but it's not enough with these big guys or with repeated hits. So now they're thinking, okay, we've taken the helmet to the limit. Maybe we can get it 5%, 10% better. We're never going to make it perfect. But maybe we can turn the helmet into a detection device where we can use sensors inside the helmet to alert trainers and coaches on the sideline that players need to be looked at and might need care. And so what this company has done, it's done this classic pivot where it's moved from an old economy manufacturing company where it made molded and sculpted and physical things to making this physical thing into a technology device.
Well, they subscribe to Blasingame's law of business love.
Which
it's okay to fall in love with what you do, but you can't fall in love with how you do it.
Yeah. Well, they certainly have changed utterly, and they hired their first electrical engineers. Partnered with a biomechanics.
Did any of these guys get roped into the class action suit against the NFL?
They're all in it. You can't escape it.
They're all co-defendants, aren't they?
Well, they're not co-defendants. The big suit against the NFL, which was settled for $1 billion, was originally coupled with suits against the helmet manufacturers, particularly Rydell, and the judge separated the suits.
Wow.
So that they would be tried differently, and the Rydell suit is still sitting in the courthouse. There's no sign that it's going to be tried anytime soon, but it is there looming over the company.
Talk about a contingent liability.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and it's all because, you know, at one time they said that their helmet could eliminate the risk of concussions or dramatically reduce it. Which it actually it does, but it doesn't eliminate concussions.
But that's a marketing claim that's going to be held against them, isn't it?
Yeah, and they were ahead of the research, or maybe a little too avid about the research they had.
What's your conclusion? 30 seconds of all this.
My conclusion is that you can look at anything that you think may be the most physical thing in the world, but in order for you to address the issues facing your product, you have to think about how to convert it into a tech-enabled product that pushes it into a new category.
Well, that's what I'm telling small business owners. A big part of your special sauce is the high touch, but customers will demand some technology. They're going to demand some level of high tech, and the special sauce is both high touch and high tech. And I think that's what you're saying about these guys. Quick break, right back with Ted Fishman. We're going to talk about what's going on over in the Pacific Rim. How about...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.